Warning, you're about to access explicit content. Please proceed with caution.
You're listening to a Slurred Kind production.
Oh no.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you can see, the captain has turned on the fasten seatbelt sign. It appears we've run into a rough patch of weather, so
I have an announcement too. There is a colonial woman on the wing.
The woman on the wing, I saw her. There is something they're not telling us. Right.
There's a colonial woman. She was turning butter on that wing. She is out there right now.
Shit.
Everyone remain calm. I'm an air marshal.
Say goodbye. We're going down.
Take off.
Get our cars down.
All right, team, look alert. We've arrived at the Denver airport, and this time, we're going to go deeper than the TSA ever dared to venture.
Oh, yeah.
Deeper? Hopefully not as deep as the time we got caught smuggling those Iraqi spice-infused Legos and we had to shove them way up.
No. Not like that. Not this time.
Affirmative. According to the schematics, the real action lies beneath our feet. We're off to the hidden realms of the Denver airport where conspiracy theories and interdimensional gateways collide.
That's right, Zero. Our spring break is right around the corner. We just have to find that damn Stargate. Just hope they serve something stronger than the cosmic coffee that they have down there.
You mean stronger than the time we tried Klingon firewater?
Yeah, let's not relive that wormhole-induced hangover, Ripley. Besides, we've got a Stargate to catch. Ha ha! Hey, check it out. We're at gate A69.
Jesus.
It's time for the news.
Welcome back to Binge and Hoppers. I'm Joba, ain't afraid to fly Fett.
And I'm Ripley, Demon of the Sky, Scott.
And you're listening to Close Encounters of the Slurred Kind. Oh man, we got a super fun conspiracy-fueled episode for you guys tonight. So with it, let's head right into those hyperspace headlines.
It's time for the hyperspace headlines.
So, all right, we'll take it away. We'll let you hit the first one, and I will follow suit.
All right, this first one comes to us from our good old friends at the AP in the oddities section. Lego head mugshots add to California's debate on policing and privacy. Huh. So this comes to us from Los Angeles. A Southern California police department has been handcuffed by Lego after the toy company asked the agency to stop adding Lego heads to cover the faces of suspects and images it shares in social media. The Murrieta Police Department has been using Lego heads and emojis to cover people's faces and posts on social sites since at least early 2023.
Farga nice horse.
But the altered photos went viral last week after the department posted a statement about its policy, prompting several news articles and later the requests from Lego.
Oh my God.
Why the cover faces? The department wrote March 18th an Instagram post that featured five people in lineup, their faces covered by Lego heads with varying expressions. The post went on to reference a California law that took effect January 1st, limiting departments and sharing mugshots on social media. The Murrieta Police Department prides itself in its transparency with the community, but also honors everyone's rights and protection as afforded by law, even suspects, the department wrote.
Was it making Lego look bad or something?
It looks like there's a bunch of Lego criminals. Yeah, it's like this one that they have. It's got like a 5 o'clock shadow and like a, kind of a shocked look and... Yeah, it's pretty funny. Since across the U.S., law enforcement agencies have often posted galleries of photos for Mugshot Mondays and Wanted Wednesdays to social media in efforts to bolster community engagement. But experts increasingly point to the harmful effects of putting such images online. For people awaiting trials, mugshots can carry a presumption of guilt. And for anyone looking to move past a conviction, the images can make it hard to get a job and haunt them for the rest of their lives. Under California's new law, police departments and sheriff's offices are now required to remove any booking photo they shared on social media, including of people arrested for violent offenses, within 14 days unless specific circumstances exist, like the person remains a fugitive and an imminent threat to public society. It builds on a previous version that took effect in 2022. The prior law prohibited posting mugshots of nonviolent offenders unless those circumstances exist. It also said departments should remove mugshots already posted to social media, identifying any defendants who requested if they can prove the record was sealed, their conviction was expunged, or they were found not guilty, among a handful of other reasons. Lego did not respond to multiple emails requesting comment.
They were just like, take our shit off here. We don't need to be on the mugshots.
Exactly.
That's funny as shit, man. I've always, I never thought of putting Lego faces on a criminal as a crime, but I have thought walking across barren Legos on the ground. I've always thought that was a crime in itself.
That yeah. definitely is. You know what they really should do? And this is not meant to be political, but it'd be funny. Like, you know, the president's mask, I think they use them in like Point Break and stuff, right? Where like Reagan masks and, you know.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. And like the nun masks in what is that movie with
the town?
Like, yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah. They should just put something like that. That would be pretty funny.
They
just
like Lego helmets that they run in and like, fucking everybody get down. This is a stick up. They're all wearing like Lego shit. Oh my God. That'd be great. You'd be really cool to see a criminal really commit to it. And they even have the Lego gloves and they can barely hold the fucking gun. That'd be something else. Like, it's like, oh, okay. It's like, they're like hooks, you know, like those little grabbers you had when you were a kid trying to grab all the stuff that were like out of reach.
Yep.
like lobster pinchers. Yeah. Oh, that's funny, man. I can only imagine like a lineup of what was that movie with the bad guy that Kevin Spacey was portraying.
The Usual Suspects.
The Usual Suspects. How did you pick that out of thin air? I didn't even go into like detail. That was really impressive, actually, Ripley. That was really impressive.
You know, this is against all politicians that we currently have on both sides of the aisle. They should just start putting like politicians' faces on these suspects.
Yeah.
Because those are the true criminals.
I couldn't agree more with you. Could not agree more with you. But I can only imagine, like, I loved it when you were talking about, like, the 5 o'clock shadow on one of the pictures. And it'd be funny, like, one of them have, like, an eye patch.
Shimmery timber.
Then one of them's got, like, a fucking, like, scar across its eye. Like, just all the stereotypical criminal bullshit. Oh.
Face tattoo in Lego.
Yes, face tattoo on there. Oh, Jesus Christ.
I got a teardrop in my eye. That's because I killed a man.
It's because I killed a man. That's right. That is funny. That's a really good find. Of all the articles I was looking at, I didn't even come across that one. That's fantastic. That's a good headline. That's a good headline. All right. Mine is way less funny, but this one I thought was interesting, at least, and it plays into the things we talk about. So this one's coming to you from the Lad Bible. Using this one, I don't think we've used this often. We may have used it like once or twice, but they usually have really good articles on social media. And, you know, this one just happens to, you know, resonate. So the NASA James Webb Space Telescope finds signs of possible lights on planet 47 light years away. Did you hear about this?
I did not.
Yeah, so the JWST, James Webb Space Telescope, is already making groundbreaking discoveries, including what looked like and has already been debunked, unfortunately. I know. Sad face. There was rumors all over the internet that apparently NASA had found a planet that looked like it was emitting light, as in there were cities on the surface. And so everyone was up in a blaze on social media and everyone was like, holy shit, oh my God. Everyone was thinking it was just like, you know, this crazy big discovery, but I'll go deeper into it. The $10 billion telescope already captured amazing photos of Uranus, not your actual anus. I'm talking about the planet, our solar system. That was my conjecture. And then, of course, it does say actually stop laughing. It says stop laughing in the article. It's kind of funny. And it looks like it may have just made a groundbreaking discovery light years outside of our solar system. Despite social media rumors, the discovery of city lights on exoplanet Proxima Centauri b, which is what I was alluding to a minute ago, which shares similar characteristics to Earth, signaling signs of extraterrestrial life, it has since been debunked. Turns out the discovery is something, though, just as interesting. In a statement released on official JWST website, it was announced that the telescope may just have found aurorae appearing as lights on what is known as a brown dwarf. You know, I've dropped a lot of browns, and I would never call them dwarfs, but, you know, NASA looks
like usually they're megastars.
That is very true. Affectionately named Brown Dwarf W1935, the object is bigger than Jupiter, but no bigger than the Sun. It's cold, lacks a host star, meaning there is no clear source for energy in the upper atmosphere. While it is speculated that methane emissions are behind the object emitting an aurora, which, you know, of course, that does sound similar. You know, I was talking about a methane, my brown dwarf, you know, droppings. I mean, you know, we may have a lot in common, me and the star.
You say aurora?
Maybe it's aurora. It's got to be.
Well, I was just wondering, it made me think, that's aurora.
I thought you were just about to say.
It's the light, it's the sky of this planet you find. That's aurora.
Well, you know, I'm definitely going to implement that song segment into this episode now. So basically an Aurora or Aurora, we'll get back to you on that. This is spelled A-U-R-O-R-A-E. So I'm saying Aurora.
Aurora, probably.
Oh, Aurora. Aurora, Aurora. On Earth is created when energetic particles that make their way into space from the sun are captured by our planet's magnetic field, then cascade down towards our atmosphere along magnetic field lines around Earth's poles, not stripper poles, the actual poles. Colliding with gas molecules, this creates pretty curtains of light. You may know these as the Northern Lights. It goes on to say that basically it possibly would have caught the Northern Lights on this planet that's, 47 light years away. So very cool. Right up our alley, you know, with our spacefaring shenanigans aboard the Black Swirl and, you know, in this alternate dimension we lovingly refer to as the antimatter dimension. I thought it was a fitting addition to our article catalog.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, baby. Let's go. Let's go.
Well, nice. That was great find.
Thank you. Thank you. I do appreciate it. But that moves us right into the Banter Beacon.
Banter Beacon initiated.
Yeah. So today we are talking about the Denver Airport. All roads lead to the Denver Airport, bitches. This has been the crux of many a conspiracy for a long, long time. This airport has all the makings of a crazy story. So we're basically going to go inside the Denver Airport. We're going to do everything but go inside the Denver Airport. Mm-hmm. And we're going to go about all the different crazy conspiracies, and we're going to go back and forth on, the way that we normally do. So with that, we're going to allthatsinteresting.com. Ripley, do you want to take it away for the first one?
Let's let her rip. All right. We will start with the mural, Leo Tanguma's apocalyptic mural. Among the airport's 40-piece collection of public artworks is a 25-foot-wide mural by artist Leo Tanguma called Children of the World Dream of Peace.
Oh, my God.
So cryptic.
Wow.
The painting depicts the soldier wielding a sword and bayoneted machine gun as distraught children cower at his feet.
What the actual fuck, dude? This is the craziest-looking mural ever.
It is. It's like the guy's got like a mask on it. It's almost kind of like the bad guy from the semi-robotic one from Hellboy, the original one.
Yeah, it does. It definitely, and you know what's funny? It does look like a World War II looking sort of.
Oh, it definitely is very Nazi.
It's very Nazi, but it's a Nazi mixed with like a Russian looking attire. It definitely looks like Stalin and a Nazi had a weird love child baby, and the baby looks like one of the green toy soldiers from Toy Story, and it's painted on this wall. Behind him is a weird rainbow coming out of nowhere. Honestly, it goes past the machine gun and looks like it just kind of swirls up into the guy. There's like a white dove. Looks like he's literally taking the tip of the sword and putting it in the white dove's ass.
It almost does, yeah. Wrecked him. Damn near killed him. And there's a dilapidated building to the side and another one that looks like it's basically already falling apart.
Yeah, why would anyone put this up in a public airport? That's my big question. It's like, this definitely looks like, if we're going to put our conspiracy theory like tinfoil hats on for this episode, this kind of looks like some sort of what do you call it? Subliminal programming. You know, when you see a McDonald's sign, if it's red and yellow, it makes you hungry.
Yeah.
I don't know how to like put this into perspective.
Yeah, the caption on the photo said, some believe the sword in this mural represents a Masonic cult known as the Shriners. Artist Leo Tanguma claims that the painting symbolizes all the nations of the world coming together in the wake of a grand catastrophe.
Yeah! How does that look like things coming to... Oh, maybe the rainbow up top, I guess, could symbolize, oh, we're all coming together.
So while conspiracy theorists have suggested the sword symbolizes the Masonic Shriners and international cult logo, Tanguma has firmly denied any such links. He says, I have children sleeping amid the debris of war, and this warmonger is killing the devil of peace. So he is putting the sword up the bird's ass. But the kids are dreaming of something better in the future, and their little dream goes beyond the general and continues behind the group of people. And the kids are dreaming that will happen someday. So Okay, so it's actually the rainbow is coming from the kids, and then as it passes this general, then it becomes a rainbow.
Interesting.
Tanguma added that the mural represents global catastrophe, bringing the nations of the world together. Conspiracy theorists have seen that as a clear sign that the mural is part of a new world order agenda in which elites wage purposeful war and chaos to soft sell a one world government.
Yeah, I don't know. If I'm in an airport, I'd rather see some fucking palm trees. I think that'd give me a little bit more peace than seeing some dude with a sword and a bayonet gun, no matter what the premise was supposed to be. It's kind of wild.
Yep. So it says, like most Denver port conspiracy theories, mural garnered increasing attention following the proliferation of the internet. For Denver officials, rumors like these are merely fun and games. But this mural is hardly the strangest art at Denver. That belongs to, quote unquote, Lucifer.
Yeah. Yeah. So this one is crazy, Ripley. So I did kind of give a peek at this article. I didn't go into deep study mode as we do during the episode in real time, which makes this podcast so much different than other ones that do their research beforehand. We only loosely research things, so you guys can see us be buffoons in real time, even though it's real time, our time. It's like a week and a half past your time. But you know what? It's how we do it in the Antimatter Minute. The Blue Mustang, or simply Blucifer, has always struck onlookers as eerie. Its glowing red eyes are disconcerting, and some believe the horse symbolizes the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
By the way, this horse is a 32-foot-tall horse statue that weighs 9,000 pounds, just so everybody's aware of the scale.
That is fucking crazy. I just did look at the fences on the bottom. I would probably come to about that thing's, like, the top of, like, the mid-calf, maybe a little higher. That's wild. So, sculptor of the Blue Mustang, a.k.a. Blucifer, Louis Jimenez was killed by his creation when a falling piece severed an artery in his leg. Can you imagine it's like erecting something that big? You know, other than, of course, like, you know, me and you with our dicks being so big, you know, we know what that's like. But imagine something crazy big falling on you and rupturing something important and killing you. That's crazy. But basically, artist Louis Jimenez said he chose the color in honor of the wild spirit of the Old West. In an unsettling twist of fate, of course, we just read this, Jimenez was killed by his own creation in a freak accident in 2006, struck by a falling piece of fiberglass, which severed an artery in his leg. Despite the statue's dark backstory, officials continue to poke lighthearted fun at the notion that something nefarious is occurring at the airport. We have a quote here. It says, "We have a CEO who really embraces the conspiracy ideas," said Heath Montgomery, senior public information officer for the Denver airport. "We decided a few years ago that rather than fight all this and try and convince everybody there's nothing really going on, let's have some fun with it." This brings us to the next part, which we got to have a little bit more conjecture on the crazy horse first before we move on to the next part. But they're alluding to a chatty gargoyle, which we will actually meet later on in this episode. But, you know, I do wonder, like, why is the horse blue? You know, I get that it's supposed to represent the Old West, but, like, how does blue represent the Old West? Do you ever think of blue when you think of, like, Clint Eastwood or Back to the Future Part 3? I don't.
It's also the color of, or one of the colors of the Denver Broncos color schemes.
That makes it a little bit more understandable, I think. Okay, I can get behind that just a little bit more than just random blue. What about the red eyes? That's fucking scary. Unless the picture that we see is at night and the eyes light up. But why did he choose red? That's just crazy town.
Yeah, it does definitely look like a
murder horse. For sure. I like that. I don't like that, but I also like that.
So Blucifer isn't the only odd sculpture at the Denver airport. Strange gargoyles watch over the baggage area, and prankish airport officials even had an interactive talking gargoyle installed there in 2019. "Welcome to the Illuminati headquarters. I mean the Denver airport," the gargoyle says in one video. However, conspiracy theories involving such groups as the Nazis are treated with a more delicate touch. So the Denver airport swastika and Freemason monument. For the last 20-some years, conspiracy theorists have pointed out that the Denver airport's runway's layout looks a bit like a swastika. However, the resemblance seems to be nothing more than a terrible aesthetic accident. The old Stapleton's runways were inefficiently designed as parallel runways, made landing in bad weather difficult, and the Denver Airport, allegedly swastika-shaped runways made the airport more efficient and enable landings in all weather. Furthermore, Denver's runways aren't a precise match to the Nazi symbol, but their sheer similarity is still enough to inspire conspiracy theories. And so if you look at it, there's offset runways heading in all four directions with the airport itself kind of as
the centrifuge the middle piece.
Yeah.
It is interesting. Could you imagine Hitler sitting down and saying, listen, that's how I imagine Hitler talks. Listen, is what we have to do. Listen to me as I talk. We have to go to Denver. Listen. Yes, I said Colorado, United States. And we make runway, but we make runway, swastika runway. No, stop. Don't laugh. I laugh. You know, laugh. I laugh. We make runway with pointed runways in right turn. Keep going. Huh? Another right turn. Keep going. Angle, sharp angle, right angle. Keep going. 90 degree. All the way around.
We do have some subject matter that we want to either just avoid or tread light with, said Heather Coffin, Director of Arts and Public Events, speaking about the alleged Denver Airport swastika. Some things are worth debunking, others aren't. The Freemason-centric time capsule, however, is perhaps more baffling.
Oh, here we go with the Freemasons. So set to be opened in 2094, just a few short years from now. The time capsule is covered by a dedication marker and capstone that contains Freemason symbols and mentions the New World Airport Commission. It allegedly holds a credit card, Colorado flag, Denver Airport opening day newspapers, and more artifacts from 1994. So yeah, it shows almost like a commemorative sort of plaque that you would see maybe at a cemetery or something honoring somebody, like a memorial. And it does have Wellington E. Webb, the mayor, governor, Secretary of Transportation. Basically, it says the time capsule beneath this stone contains messages and memorabilia to the people of Colorado in 2094. But anyways, the dedication marker bears Freemasonry symbology and is attributed to the non-existent New World Airport Commission. So it is interesting that they would create something for a commission that does not actually exist. Does put a lot of questions into the free-floating cerebellum, so to speak. So the strange truth of the matter is that the New World Airport Commission group does not exist, which is what the article says, and the name bears a titular resemblance to the New World Order. New World Airport Commission, New World Order. They both start with new. They both have the world order.
World.
God, come on. Wake up, sheeple. Wake up. So feared by paranoid onlookers. However, the name, inspired by Antonin Dvorak's New World Symphony, was chosen by art advocate Charles Ansbacher to commemorate the airport's opening. So what do we got next, Ripley?
Next up, all right, let's go to railroads and reptilians, our favorite.
Reptilians!
The airport's construction setbacks and inflated costs bring us full circle to the last substantial airport conspiracy theory. Many believe the high cost of the airport's construction was due to the creation of underground tunnels, bunkers, and even shelters for non-human entities. A plethora of contract disputes purportedly led to several disparate factions of workers under different contractors finalizing Denver Airport. This separation would have allowed those in charge to keep the true scope of the project a complete secret from all involved.
Interesting.
While it remains to be proven that Denver connects to the Cheyenne Mountain Complex or NORAD itself, one thing is absolutely certain. There are at least six underground levels below Denver. Many believe these serve as an Area 51 of sorts, complete with experimentation on aliens and retro-engineering UFOs. If this theory proves to have originated from contractors who worked at the site in the 90s and saw mysterious tunnels and entrances, officially those tunnels were merely part of Denver's failed underground baggage transport system. Today, around 1,000 people work in the various underground levels on a daily basis, ferrying luggage from ticket counters and planes to baggage claim areas.
I knew it. I knew we had reverse engineering happening. David Grush announced it. The government has yet to deny it. And here we are in 2024. It seemed like there was a stalemate with everything UFO and UAP. And here we are uncovering the secret of the Denver airport. And this is where it all comes to culmination. They are reverse engineering the spacecraft. We are nothing but hive-minded individuals, all like little tiny worker bees, all just programmed to appease the reptilian master race that slaves us every single day. I've had too many beers. But David Icke was right. If you don't know who David Icke is and you're listening to this podcast, stop what you're doing.
No. Finish the episode.
Yeah. Thank you, Ripley. Finish the episode and then stop whatever it is you're doing after the episode and Google David Icke because, man, I got to be honest. He's full of shit. Have you ever looked into David Icke?
No, I have not.
Oh, I can't. Well, we're going to go on some fun rabbit holes once this episode's over, just you and me. This guy's full of crazy, crazy theories about the reptilians taking over the world. One of my favorite podcast show hosts and comedians, Dan Cummins, has an entire segment based on just kind of making fun of him.
Dan Cummins from Boise, Idaho.
Yes, exactly. Yes, him. He always loves to make fun of David Icke and all his crazy, insane theories. But yeah, basically the reptilians are the super evil, mean race that basically considers humans subspecies, and we're just basically here to serve, and they're just eventually plotting the demise of our species and are planning to take over the entire world, and obviously reverse engineering UFOs down deep below the Denver airport. So seems plausible to me. You know, if Joe Biden can be on the presidential ticket a second term, then fucking reptiles can rule things, in my opinion. I feel like a lot less crazy stuff's happened.
All right. Why don't you go ahead and finish this out? There's just a little bit left.
I would be honored to. So, Ripley, while alien imagery drawn by employees on the underground walls have spooked onlookers, Montgomery says there's nothing to worry about. These were yet again merely jokes by the Denver airport workers killing time in the 470,000 square foot underground space, jokes that got out of hand. Over the years, little personal touches have been made. He said, there's a certain mystique to anything that you see. The fact of the matter is, it would take me 3 days to show you everything down there. That is a little disconcerting to think that they went crazy with the rumors because people like me love conspiracy theories. So while it would be kind of fun to go to the Denver airport and find all the stuff that they've said is bullshit, it also muddies the waters. And it's like, you know, some of the stuff is there for a reason. And these are the people that I think, here I am putting my serious hat on. It's like, this is a very big tactic that I do believe that the government uses to cover things up. Their big play, and their big play is always to try to make the people who have all the logical, you know, things, and I'm talking about things not about the Denver airport, but the UAP subject, for instance. For years, the way that the government handled it was the crazier we can make people seem, even if their claims seem logistical, the better off we are. And then more they can continue to hide this thing and bury it deeper down the rabbit hole. So their number one reflex was always, oh, let's make them sound crazy. And, oh, you're crazy if you think of this. You're crazy if you think that. So that's what the Denver Airport did.
They went crazy.
So they went with it, and they added 1,000 little Easter egg things for people to find. And because of that, no one will ever know if anything holds any truth behind it or not, which kind of makes it even more enticing to me. But at the same time, it's also kind of like a big slap in the face. So I can't determine if I like it or if I don't like it, Ripley. I don't know.
Well, you don't know what you don't know, and what you don't know, you don't know.
It's true. It's very wise. It's very wise. But, you know, with that, we have a few honorable mentions before we go into our next segment. So other honorable airport conspiracy mentions include the lady freaking the fuck out on the plane and how she looks totally different now than when she was first interviewed. Do you know what I'm talking about with that?
Did we talk about that? Maybe we didn't, but yeah, I definitely,
He's not real. He's not. Yeah, she was saying there was somebody in the back of the plane that was like, she was like, oh, it's a person, but it's not a person. And she stormed off and the plane had to wait forever before it took off again and all that crazy shit. Well, they interviewed supposedly her months and months and months later. And the woman that they interviewed looked nothing like the girl on the plane. And so there was this big conspiracy theory that she was replaced by, lo and behold, a reptilian or somebody else, or someone stepped in to assume her identity because the girl was killed or something, and that this person just took her place. So, yeah, that's kind of what that conspiracy is. Then there's the Douglas C-54D plane, in which 44 passengers disappeared in the Alaska Triangle, which is akin to the Bermuda Triangle, which actually spawned its own show called The Alaska Triangle on, I can't remember if it's Max, HBO Max, or if it's Paramount. I think it's on HBO Max. I could be wrong. But it's one of those fun, ooh, this will kill 30 minutes and kill a few brain cells at the same time.
Nice.
Yeah, so there's that. And then the last one, of course, you know who D.B. Cooper is. Everyone knows D.B. Cooper.
Oh, yeah. It was Loki.
Exactly. He jumped off the plane. So that's not even, I don't even know why I added that. We all know it was Loki who jumped off. That was a fantastic add-in, by the way. I loved seeing that whole bit. That was so cool.
That was good. By the way, first reference I've ever heard to D.B. Cooper. Want to hear what it was?
Please tell me it was Without a Paddle.
No, it was Kid Rock.
What? Really?
Kid Rock references D.B. Cooper in it's either Cowboy or Baa with a Baa.
Really?
He says, D.B. Cooper and the money he took. You can look for answers, but that ain't fun. Now get in the pit and try to love some. Yeah, so it's Baa with a Baa.
Interesting. I would never have thought that he would ever even know who D.B. Cooper is. That's pretty interesting.
So, it's all about the criminal life.
Yeah, true that. Well, with that, guys, we're going to head on into the Laugh Alert.
Laugh Alert. Laugh Alert.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Ladies and gentlemen, forget Simon and Garfunkel, because today it's Ripley and the Gargoyle. Ripley's going to ask the Denver Airport's very own Gargoyle for flying tips, weird stories, intriguing questions, etc., A, B, C, D, and all the rest. So here we go.
Hey, Mr. Gargoyle, ever had a one-night stand on top of the terminal?
Oh, well, Ripley, I'm glad you asked. There was one or two times where I would bring just a few, lucky and or unlucky on the first to the top of the terminal, and we would shag and bag until the titties would sag.
Do gargoyles get hangovers, or does the stone skin help you sober up quickly?
It just depends. If we're drinking liquor, then things get a little out of control. If we're drinking the fine stuff, things are okay. Usually it's when we drink the blood of the saints. Now, that's when it really gets our rocks off, if you know what I mean.
Delicious pun there, Mr. Gargoyle. Is it true you only come to life to photobomb unsuspecting tourists' selfies?
Well, Ripley, let me expound on that a little bit. We come to life for several reasons. Most of the time we've come to life to photobomb some of those unsuspecting victims. Sometimes we come to life because we just get bored. I like to run around in the nude and just have one-person gargoyle parties. No one really understands me, but that's okay.
All right, you sound like an interesting character. Ever thought of spicing up your look with some piercings or tattoos, perhaps a tramp stamp?
Well, last time I got my scrotum pierced, I got demoted from a demon of hell just to a gargoyle. So I try not to do anything crazy. I had an I Love Mom tattoo and then forgot that I don't have a mom. I just have Satan. So it didn't really make much sense. So no, I'm just waiting to find the right thing. Just gotta find the right thing.
Got any insider tips on joining the Mile High Club discreetly around here?
Well, nothing you do on many of the planes will really get you to the Mile High Club. Now, if you fly Spirit, no one will hear you because it's so fucking loud. But if you're over in Southwest, United Airlines, you'll probably get caught because it's such a smooth, nice transition.
All right. What's your go-to pickup line for all those gargoyle ladies?
Hey, how's your garg reflex?
What's the craziest thing you've seen a traveler try to fit in the overhead bin?
Well, other than the moose dildo, the weirdest thing I've ever seen shoved into an overhead bin, I think the guy's name was Ben. I was wondering why the fuck they were trying to put this person in a suitcase, but I just assumed not to ask any questions. When I unzipped the bag, he kind of winked at me, put his finger to his lip, and winked again. I said, fuck it, you know, they're bringing a midget to another country. Who am I to stop them from having a good time? You know what I'm saying?
All right. Do you use Tinder? Is there a special dating app for stone cold singles like you?
You know, we don't get a lot of play down in hell. So that's kind of why we stick around in the airport, because there's all kinds of different flavors walking around. You know, you never really know who you're going to meet, who you're going to see. We got a really good system. It's called Lavalier. Either pitch her to the right or you fork her to the left.
All right. Ever prank call the air traffic control tower just for kicks?
You know, only once or twice till we got in trouble. And, you know, that whole Malaysian flight thing, we had to make that shit disappear. So we stopped doing it after that.
All right. What's your favorite cocktail? Something on the rocks, I assume?
You know, we'll take anything on the rocks. It's a big divisive thing here in the gargoyle community, whether we like cocks or if we like tails. You know, we'll take either. It just depends on which one's hairier, you know?
How do you feel about all those conspiracy theories about the airport? Got any secret tunnels to share?
Well, if I told you, Ripley, I'd have to kill you.
Well, we don't want that now, do we? All right. If you could fly anywhere, where would you go to let your wings down and partay?
Well, listen here, Ripley. If I could go anywhere, I could party it hard. You know, people make fun of me for saying this, and... You know, of all the party places you could go in Europe, you know, there's even some secluded areas in, like, South America. You know where I would go to party, Ripley? I hear Paducah, Kentucky has some nice hangouts. Just some bangers of a good time.
And the Silver Bullet.
That's what I was going to say. How did you know the Silver Bullet in Paducah, Kentucky can fucking get it? You know? I've seen some crazy shit happen down there.
Amen, brother. Amen. All right, what kind of music gets a gargoyle in the mood? Heavy metal? Stone rock, maybe?
You know, we do take a little bit of all that. But you know what really does it for us? And not a lot of people understand or really get it. And people, we always tell them we think we're joking.
I'm sure your favorite band is Queens of the Stone Age.
I mean, other than Queens of the Stone Age, what really gets our rocks off is...
All right, last question for you, Mr. Gargoyle. Have you ever accidentally scared the crap out of someone during a midnight flight?
You know who Jeff Bezos is?
Yes, Jeff Bezos.
Well, we're the reason he is the way he is.
All right, well, that's good to know, and I blame you for everything that's wrong with the world then.
Can't wait to talk to you again, Ripley.
Yeah, you my dick, you stone-headed freak. It was a pleasure talking with you, Mr. Gargoyle. Stay rock hard, why don't you?
Damn, I think I just saw him walk out. Shit.
Well, not going to miss that guy.
Yeah, he seemed kind of like a piece of shit. I hate that I missed that entire interview.
Yeah, it was a little rocky.
Man, I can't believe it's already over.
That's what she said. But yeah, I hear you. Nothing beats a pint of Cardassian ale beside the electric rivers of Melmac. And we don't have to watch one episode of ALF.
Did you say the Cardassians are down here too?
Cardassian ale. Hoped maybe they'd mistake you for someone else's luggage over there at baggage claim.
Okay, you two. I'll definitely miss all the tatas. At least I think they were tatas.
Yeah, see, I try not to think too hard about that.
The likelihood of us coming into contact with the Antimatter Minute Dimensions version of an alien ladyboy is far too high for my liking. Glad we behave ourselves. Right, Joba? Joba?
Damn, it's getting late. We better get back to the ship. I think we parked on the surface. Stay slurred, everybody.
Let's go. Don't wait. This episode is over. Honest, it was great. But now it's over, it's over, it's over, I am no longer sober.
Joe Buffett here. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode. If you enjoyed our ridiculous content, then get to your nearest cosmic communication device and spread the word to your friends, family, coworkers, or nearby nerf herders. We're available on Spotify, Apple and Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen. If you have an idea for our show or would like to propose a theme, send in an email to closeencountersslurredkind@gmail.com. That's closeencountersslurredkind@gmail.com. Feel free to tweet us or shoot us a message at The Slurred Kind on either Meta, Twitter, or Instagram. If you don't, be sure to follow us on the socials mentioned above, and don't forget to join Ripley, myself, and our droid Zero Frux, and all the other Dimension Hoppers over on our Facebook group, The Antimatter Minute. Now watch your step. It's time to board the Black Swirl so we can continue tumbling down this black hole of hilarity together. Remember, everyone, stay slurred.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore. Bells will ring.